Reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Actually, I was just given a topic, which is Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is actually the title of the second chapter of the Adi Lila, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not a small subject. And I was a little perplexed, actually, how to approach it, because anyone who likes can read the second chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita and get a very good understanding. But I thought it was very appropriate at this time to look at the first verse of the chapter, because we might go into some other verses in the chapter. But the reason I wanted to discuss on the basis of the first verse is actually in many ways the first verses of the chapters of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which gives some glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in different ways, are very indicative of how one should approach endeavoring to understand Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the first verse of the second chapter is Sri Chaitanya Prabhum Vande Balopi Yadanugrahat Tarendana Matagraha Triptam Siddhanta Sagaram. The translation is, I offer my obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even an ignorant child can swim across the ocean of conclusive truth, which is full of the crocodiles of various theories. I offer my obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even an ignorant child can swim across the ocean of conclusive truth, which is full of the crocodiles of various theories. Purport. By the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even an inexperienced boy with no educational culture can be saved from the ocean of nescience, which is full of various types of philosophical doctrines, which are like dangerous aquatic animals. The philosophy of the Buddha, the argumentative presentations of the Jnanis, the yoga systems of Patanjali and Gautama, and the systems of philosophers like Kanada, Kapila, and Dattatreya are dangerous creatures in the ocean of nescience. By the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can have real understanding of the essence of knowledge by avoiding these sectarian views and accepting the lotus feet of Krishna as the ultimate goal of life. Let us all worship Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his gracious mercy to the conditioned souls. Maginati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur unmilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namah. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langa yategirim jat kripa tamaham vande shri gurun dinataranam. Shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam jena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadandivam. Namo mahavaranyaya krishna prema prabhadayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tise Namaha Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. At one time, Srila Prabhupada made the statement, don't be so intelligent that you reject the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mercy is something which we need to deeply understand in order to be able to make progress in spiritual life. Because it is only by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that we come into this line of devotional service. And this line of devotional service, especially, but at all times, but especially in this age of Kali, is practically lost to human society. In the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that he is going to reveal the most confidential knowledge to Arjuna. Itang tu te guyatam prakshyami anasuyave. He says, I'm going to tell you this because you are anasuya, because you're not envious of me. And then he goes on in the second verse that this is the most secret of all secrets, Raja Guya, the most secret of all secrets. And what is this most secret of all secrets? And Krishna reveals very clear knowledge of himself. In other words, the most secret of all secrets is Krishna himself. In the world, there's all these things of secret, top secret, above top secret. Even you have that now. And you even have above top secret. So many ways of keeping things secret. And basically, it is all established within a hierarchical system and a need-to-know basis. So there are, like, the Americans are very good at this now, but I think probably the Chinese are the best at keeping secrets. Secrets within secrets within secrets. The idea being that it's just not necessary that something be common knowledge. And frankly speaking, it is not necessary that Krishna consciousness be common knowledge. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this should never be spoken to. This should always, Krishna actually says, he is most dear to me who explains this knowledge to the devotees. It's a closed shop. It's a secret society, actually. It's a secret society. The most secret aspect of this society is the Lord's pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. And it is explained that not even Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha knows the activities of Goloka Vrindavan. Not even Vishnu. And these pastimes of the Lord, they're very, very, very rarely revealed. The Lord appears once in a day of Brahma. We become very glib about these kind of things and the kind of figures that we are presented in the scripture in terms of durations of time. But if you consider that in this present age that we live in, barely 5,000 years into the age of Kali, practically all knowledge of anything that happened before the age of Kali has vanished. And we have barely 2,000 years of recorded histories of societies and cultures. Some archaeological digging around and coming up with remnants of information of cultures that go back maybe 5,000 years. But beyond that, there's very little knowledge of anything in terms of human activity. But we understand that Lord Brahma has an immense duration of life. 311,040,000,000 years. Prabhupada gives that figure in Bhagavad Gita. These things are inconceivable. And Krishna appears once in a day of Brahma. And it's estimated that his appearance and his enactment of his pastimes take about 125 years. And a certain period of that is 15 years is dedicated to his childhood pastimes in Vrindavan. And we understand from the Shastra that it is the childhood pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, which is one of the qualities that distinguishes him from all other incarnations or all other personalities of Godhead. It is one of the it is the leela of his childhood pastimes which we understand makes him the supreme personality of Godhead. And the quality of the relationship that he enters into with his devotees in those leelas is also what distinguishes him from all other personalities of Godhead. Although we understand by the principle of achintya bheda bheda tattva, there is no difference between the Lord in Goloka Vrindavan and the Lord in your heart as Chiradoksai Vishnu. There is no difference, they are identical. There is no difference between Krishna and Narayan. There is no difference between Lord Sri Krishna and any of his personalities. But nonetheless, he is the supreme personality of Godhead. And that is a very closely guarded secret. Now, in the material world, you can, especially in this age, you can hack into somebody's computer system and find out their secrets. Secrets may be very, very well concealed in the material world, but somebody will always find them out. That's always the case. Secrets become revealed. But there is no amount of hacking that you can do that is going to get you into the most secret of all secrets. Krishna says, bhaktya mam abhijanati yaman jasjasmi tatvatha tato mam tatvato gyatva vishyate tadarantara. That only by devotional service am I to be understood as I am. So Krishna makes it very clear. This knowledge should not be revealed to one who is not austere, one who is envious, one who is not self-controlled. In other words, to non-devotees. To non-devotees. So we can gather some understanding then of the meaning of mercy. When we see that it is by the mercy of the Lord's devotees that this knowledge is broadcast far and wide to anybody who may be interested. And in that regard, Srila Prabhupada, in the purport to the verse in the 18th chapter where Krishna is explaining this, says, sometimes we see that there is a public meeting held and these topics are discussed. He said, this is because actually there are people at large who are not envious of Krishna. They are ignorant of Krishna, but they are not envious of Krishna. However, they remain ignorant unless and until they come in contact with a pure devotee of the Lord who reveals the truth to them. Tadviri pranipatina pariprashnina sevaya upadekshyanti tegyanam gyaninas tatvadasana. Not just a pure devotee, pure devotees, actually. It is plural. We've had discussion recently about this in Bhagavatam class. And actually the example which we need to carefully look at in this regard is the story of Narad Muni. In his previous life, Narad Muni was offering menial servants to Bhaktivedantas, plural. And he was given, by their mercy, he was given the remnants of their foodstuffs to eat. And in this way, Prabhupada explains, he was initiated by them. In other words, initiation means just that, beginning. Prabhupada says that. One should not forget, initiation means the beginning. Initiation is not the end, initiation is the beginning, to initiate something, to begin something. So what I am getting at here is that there is an element in all of this which can never be overlooked. Jai. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Sri Sri Gornitai ki jai. There is an element, an essential ingredient. And that is the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mercy, one is merciful. In other words, what does it mean to be a merciful person? What is mercy? Who can give me a definition of mercy? Yes. Do you get something when you don't deserve it? Not just you get something when you don't deserve it, there's more. Yes. That's what you get, but what is mercy? Yes. Well, this example, this definition we've got is right. You get something when you don't deserve it. But there is more. Yes.
You get the most valuable thing when you don't deserve it.
That is also the most valuable thing. But what is the other thing about it? Sorry?
Love.
That is what you get. The other quality of mercy is it is indiscriminate and it is freely given. You don't get mercy by buying it. You can't buy mercy. The mercy of the Lord is freely given. Yes. The responsibility of what we do with that mercy always lies with us, but it is freely given. And all we have to do is have some faith. All we have to do is have some faith. And it is explained that one who has faith, going to these first verses, actually, it would be a very nice idea if we went through Chaitanya Charitamrita and compiled these first verses. Yes? One who has faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a blind man can see the stars in the sky. A lame man can cross the mountains. Yes? A dumb man can speak choice poetry. If he has faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if he accepts the mercy, we must accept the mercy. And it is very important here in this regard, in this chapter, that Krishnadas Kaviraj is talking about an ignorant child. An ignorant child. Who's not an ignorant child? We're all ignorant children. Ummagina timirandasya. Yananjana shalakaya. Chakshurun vinitam jena tasmaya shri gurave namah. I was born in the darkest of ignorance. And my spiritual master has opened my eyes, darkened by this ignorance, with the torchlight of knowledge. This is mercy. Mercy comes to us unheralded, unexpected, and very often misunderstood. So we are now in a confidential situation. We have been brought into a confidential situation because we weren't envious of Krishna. And when we heard about Krishna, we accepted. And that is basically all that is needed to hear. We should not, though, take it for granted. It is only by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we are able to understand anything in regard to the Absolute Truth. Now, the question that really, really teases people is, what is so special about this International Society for Krishna Consciousness? It's just another Hindu organization, which is pretty much what is in the minds of most people now, that ISKCON is just another Hindu organization. The difficulty with this is that, first of all, there is no such thing as Hinduism. Nowhere in the entire Vedic literature do we find the word Hindu. We find Vedic culture being described in its totality. But the actual essence of the Vedic culture, as explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But, and that may even be known to some extent in what is called Hindu society, and that Hinduism may be accepted and understood to some extent in an academic way by society at large. All of that is very nice, very fine. But what makes the International Society for Krishna Consciousness so special? What distinguishes the International Society of Krishna Consciousness from everything else? It is only within the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in the entire world that you will get any information about Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada says Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study. Bhagavad Gita is the ABCDs. Srimad Bhagavatam is the graduate study. And Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study. So, confidential, more confidential, most confidential. The most confidential knowledge is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nayanya. There is no difference between Radha Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we understand from our confidential, from our study of this most confidential literature, how it is that Krishna, Radha and Krishna have taken one form. And why it is that that has happened. Internal reasons, external reasons, confidential, more confidential, most confidential reasons. And in the hearing of this, in the progressive understanding of this, we are, as it is said here, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we ignorant children are becoming able to swim across the ocean of conclusive truth, which is full of the crocodiles of various theories. It doesn't take much to become bewildered. We are in a bewildered state. And we're hearing all kinds of philosophies all the time. Everybody's got a philosophy on the meaning of life. And it's all to do, Sutta Goswami explains in second chapter of Bhagavatam, Divinity and Divine Service, it is all to do with the propensity to hear about, glorify, remember, and worship. Hearing about the activities of other people, glorifying the activities of other people, remembering the activities of other people, and worshipping other people. Prabhupada explains in the purport to that verse that these things are essential to our existence. Something which is essential is something which cannot be done without. In other words, we do not live by any other currency, by any other sustenance than that. Of course, you understand. Oh, yes. Well, you have to feed the body and so on. But what are we doing after we feed the body? Why are we feeding the body? So we can be involved in hearing about, glorifying, remembering, and worshipping. And if you don't hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the Supreme Lord, then you'll hear about, glorify, remember, and worship anyone, according to how you are bewildered by the modes of material nature. Football, rock and roll, movie stars, politicians. Weather. Weathermen. You don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. No, we're talking about people. All the time we're talking about people. People. We are glorifying people that we consider to be greater than us, that we adore, that have prowess and abilities which we may not have ourselves but which we wish we had. Like they say, with all the groupies of stars, they call them wannabes. I want to be like her. I want to be like him. They become wannabes. Why is that? Because the natural tendency, the essential nature of the living being is to hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But we have fallen down into this, in this material world, and become conditioned souls, deeply forgetful of this essential quality of our very being. We've forgotten this. But if you don't do it one way, you do it another. Therefore, you become entangled in the material world by hearing about it and hearing about the prowess of people in it. But this is a predicated situation, and it is predicated upon forgetfulness. But it's a very interesting point that I make this very often, that, again, there's no point talking about forgetfulness without understanding that first there must be knowledge. You cannot forget something that you don't know. Just as you can't remember something that you don't know. Forgetfulness is a very funny thing, because when you forget, you don't know anymore. Or you forget that you know. This is mystic. Forgetfulness is mystic. It's a mystical thing. It's a spell. Cast a spell on you. And that's what a hypnotist does, actually. Hypnotist says, when you wake up, you will forget what I've said to you. But when I snap my fingers or I say a particular word, you will start to cluck like a chicken. Now snap out of it. Did you have a nice sleep? Yes, yes. Are you feeling well rested? Yes. This is bewilderment. This is bewilderment. We can never, ever underestimate the power of the bewildering potency of the Lord. So how are we to get out of this? How are we to get out of this? Umagina timirandasya yananjana shalakaya. Umagina timirandasya yananjana shalakaya. Chakshur unmilitam jena. My eyes become opened by the torchlight of knowledge. How? By the mercy of my spiritual master. By the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In other words, you can't figure it out. Nobody can ever figure it out. Krishna says, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavrita. I am eternally covered by my Yoga Maya. You can't hack into this. There's only one way in, and that is by receiving the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only, in this age of Kali, only by this mercy can one actually attain a proper understanding of the Absolute Truth. Very difficult to actually come to terms with. Very difficult to understand and very difficult to explain. And the reason why all of that is so is because it does not happen on the platform of the mind. It happens in the heart. There must be a change in the heart. Bhagavatam goes into great detail about this. Sutta Goswami goes into very great detail about the potency of the holy name in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, and explains that that is a steel-framed heart that does not melt upon hearing the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. He doesn't say that is a steel-framed mind or a steel-framed intelligence. He says it is a steel-framed heart. The change must occur in the heart. And that change is only brought about by mercy, by receiving, by accepting mercy. Just the fact that we gain the understanding, at least the intellectual understanding, that the holy name of the Lord is non-different from the Lord, is mercy itself. You can't go to any academic institution anywhere on this planet and get information like that from somebody who's passed a PhD. You don't get that. Prabhupada went to MIT and said, where in this great institution is the department which explains to you who you are? He met with Mensa. He met with a group of people from Mensa. And he began his class by the statement, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Take it. You have to take it because you can't work it out. You never will work it out. Only when the torchlight of knowledge is brought to your darkened eyes do you see the truth. Until and unless that happens, one remains in the darkness of ignorance. And the nature of the material world, Srila Prabhupada says, is labyrinthine. Labyrinths are designed so that once you get in them, you can't get out of them. There's the famous labyrinth of the Minotaur of Crete that's mentioned in the book, the Iliad or the Odyssey, one or the other. The books of Homer called the Iliad and the Odyssey. The Odyssey is the story of Odysseus and the Argonauts searching for the Golden Fleece, and it describes their adventures through the Mediterranean, and they come to Crete. And it's understood that there is a mythical creature so vicious and so nasty that he had to be trapped in a labyrinth. And he couldn't get out, but anyone who got in also couldn't get out. And they would ultimately be killed by the Minotaur. So the point is that labyrinths are designed so that once you get in them, you can't get out of them. And that is the material world. It is not just a labyrinth built on a lateral plane. It is a multidimensional labyrinth called the three worlds, or in other parts called the 14 worlds of the material world, of the material universe. And whether you are going through the heavenly planets, or going through the earthly planets, or going through the hellish planets, whether you're in one or another of 8,400,000 species of life, you don't get out once you're in. Only by the causeless intervention of the Lord could you maybe get the opportunity. Maybe. The odds of that, of meeting a pure devotee of the Lord, are inconceivably great. Example is given that a piece of driftwood may be floating in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Just a small piece of driftwood. And it's got a hole in it. And that hole is just big enough to fit the head of a turtle through. Now, what are the odds of a turtle swimming somewhere, anywhere in the Pacific Ocean, coming up for air, breaking the surface, and just as he does that, he puts his head through that knot hole? Now, we have been in this material world since time immemorial. One lecture Srila Prabhupada's talking about, there's a verse, the Sanskrita, the miseries of the material life. And he says, we are suffering material miseries one after the other, one after the other, one after the other. And then he says, and this has been going on since the beginning of creation. And then he says, what to speak of this creation? We have been in this material world for billions of creations. Billions times trillions of years. One creation, 311 trillion and 40 million years. Billions of times. Oh, I just forgot Krishna. Oh, silly me, I just forgot Krishna. You forgot Krishna billions of trillions of years ago. And you've been running around like a rat in a maze ever since. Undergoing the repetition of birth, death, disease, and old age. Accepting one material body after another, after another, after another, after another. Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Poi Bhakti Lata Beach. One, by the inconceivable mercy, Guru Krishna Prasade Poi Bhakti Lata Beach, one receives this Bhakti Lata Beach. What is this Bhakti Lata Beach? It is this life, the rules, the regulations, the practices, the principles that we are given. This is the Bhakti Lata Beach. It's mercifully given. Here, take it. There's no fee. You don't have to, you can't buy it. You can't buy it. You know, well, you don't need to buy it. Take it. Here, take it. This is mercy. This is mercy. The quality of mercy is not strained, but droppeth like the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. The rain falls everywhere. It falls everywhere. And everyone is blessed by the rain. Without the rain. So mercy, the quality of mercy is not strained. There is no constraint upon the mercy of the Lord. Especially, there is no constraint upon the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna actually, in terms of what he's presenting in Bhagavad Gita, he's keeping the shop closed. But as he explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the Panchatattva, they plundered the storehouse of love of God and freely distributed it everywhere. Freely. without any consideration of the qualifications of who they were giving it to. This is mercy. This is mercy. And it is only by this mercy that we are here. And in the development of our understanding of these things, we come to understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yuga Avatar, that he has come to give the Dharma for the age. This Sankirtan Yajna. There must be Yajna. Yajna. Yajna tat kamano yatra loko yam kama bandana. Work done as a sacrifice to Vishnu must be performed. And then it goes on. In that third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains how from the very beginning of the creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth men and demigods along with sacrifice. We must perform sacrifice. What sacrifice? Which? Where? Who? How do we... Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to give us real intelligence. Sumedasaha. In the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna goes on talking about worship of demigods, he says, you're Alpamedasaha. And you can make Krishna a demigod. You can approach Krishna like he's any other demigod. And if you do, you're an idiot. Alpamedasaha means bereft of intelligence. But Bhagavatam says, Sumedasaha, for who? One who takes up the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who understands this Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the Yuga Avatar. He has come to give us the Dharma of the age. And what is that Dharma? Sankirtan Yajna. Sankirtan Yajna can be performed under any circumstance. Prabhupada says you simply sit down with your family at home, you clap your hands, you chant Hare Krishna. This is Sankirtan. Actually, in Chaitanya Charitamrita Prabhupada, it says that chanting your japa is Sankirtan Yajna. Because there are the trees, the birds, the animals, the insects, they are being affected by that sound vibration. This is the mercy of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj says that Krishna is never revealed by any other means than by the mercy of the Lord. Krishna reveals himself. You can't uncover him by any means, Prabhupada says, including planning commissions, congregations and seminars to discuss where do we go from here? How do we fix the world? How can we stop these tsunamis? How can we stop these earthquakes? How can we stop birth, death, disease, and old age? How can we make this world a paradise? Newsflash, you can't. Give it up. You can't, because this is the alien atmosphere. We are not in our natural situation here. But in order to progress ourselves in this situation, whatever our consciousness may be, we will engage in the performance of sacrifice. But it will be sacrifice performed in the mode of ignorance, or the mode of passion, or even in the mode of goodness. But it will not be sacrifice on the platform of transcendental goodness unless and until that is revealed by the Yuga Avatar, by the Lord Himself. And when we come to this understanding, and how do we come to this understanding? By engaging in it. By engaging in Sankirtan Yajna, we develop superior knowledge and superior strength. Where from? From within the heart. Savasya chaham hridi shinivishto mata smriti jnanam apovanam cha. This apovanam, this forgetfulness, this mystic trance of hypnotic suggestions that we live in the material world. That is coming from Krishna. But also, jnanam is also coming from Krishna. Knowledge. From within the heart. It is revealed from within the heart. So we need to engage. We need to engage in the performance of Sankirtan Yajna. Now, unfortunately, in the history of our society, Sankirtan became narrowed down. In our conception, it became narrowed down to the activity that a few elite devotees perform in book distribution. But that is not the essence of Sankirtan Yajna. Book distribution, yes, it is Sankirtan. Chanting the holy name in the street, that is Sankirtan. Mass distribution of prasadam, that is Sankirtan. And if you bring those three together, the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books with the congregational chanting of the holy name and the distribution of prasadam, then, and you engage in that activity in a cooperative manner without reducing it to the level of a sporting event so that we end up with the scores for the day, but we end up rather with the result of the yajna in which we all participated in, then from within the heart, Krishna will reveal the most powerful knowledge. And it is experiential. What is that verse? Vishaya vinivatante nirahara dehina rasapyasyam rasopyasya param dristva nivatante. Because the taste for which we are always anxious is achieved, is experienced in the performance of Sankirtan Yajna by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only. And this is, you don't have to be born a Hindu. You don't have to be born in a Brahmin family. You don't have to have a PhD from Yale University. In fact, Prabhupada says, all these things are actually obstacles. You just have to have the innocence of an ignorant child. That's all. You have to have the innocent, open heart of a child. And as Prabhupada said, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Take it. That's all. This is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahyanya. There is no difference. There is difference between Krishna and all his other incarnations. Simultaneous oneness and difference. But there is no difference between Radha Krishna and Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This very special fact has to be known and understood. If one actually wants to approach Radha and Krishna, does anyone have any questions?